And in this segment tonight for the whole hour, we have Kristen Carter, founder president of the Busy Beaver Button Company in Chicago.
Yep.
What neighborhood are you in now?
Logan Square.
It's still Logan Square. Mm-hmm. And we have my new friend Tanner Woodford, founder and executive director of the Chicago Design Museum.
Happy to be here.
In Block 37. And last but not least, my dear friend and counselor, Graham Corder, musician and our bartender at the Matchbox. Do they call them bartenders?
Bartender, barman.
Barman.
Not mixologist.
Not mixologist?
Yeah, we make money.
Yeah. So you're going to be my sidekick all night. We've never done this before on
the
show.
This is brand new.
So you're going to play a little guitar, do some interludes.
Just kind of see where the night takes us.
So tell me a little bit about your background, your musical career, and type of music people might be hearing tonight.
Well, tonight I'll probably just play like some more surf guitar. That's always been one of my passions. I just love it. Just the sound of reverberated guitar is one of my favorites. I'm real big into a lot of like late 70s, early 80s, like British indie rock as well. So I might throw a little bit of that in. I didn't really prepare much. I just kind of wanted to see where things went and just kind of let that happen.
That's how we do the whole show.
Yeah.
So that's good.
See the pants there.
I've talked to you, of course, at the Matchbox. You're from Chattanooga originally?
Yeah, born and raised in Chattanooga, Tennessee. My father's a professional drummer. Just did his 500th album last year.
So, 500th album?
I mean, 500th
that he appeared on. Yeah.
So a lot of country stuff, but, you know, it's everything pays. It all counts, you know.
And what is his name?
Bob Corder.
And who all has he played with?
He was on one of the, like, Charlie Lubin's last records. He toured with the Forster Sisters back in the 80s.
The Forster Sisters, yeah.
He's just a, you know, consummate side man. So I'm trying to think of some other people that he's played with. Just off the top of my head. But 500, it's a lot of people.
It is.
It's a ton.
What brought you to Chicago?
I had a really good friend who's not with us anymore, unfortunately. His name was Scott Gibson. And he was an old drummer and frontman in a couple bands I played in. And he moved up here, and I came and visited, went home, got out of my apartment, slept on a couch for a month, and moved right up here. It just felt right.
What do you mean it felt right?
Just the whole music scene, like the feel of the city. I've spent, you know, plenty of time in New York, and I love New York, but it's something about the Midwest, like Chicago, just really, really fit, you know?
So you came up here to kind of follow music?
Follow music and immediately fell into a bar gig and really love what I do. Like I also love bartending. It's great.
Yeah. Now, Kristen, I talked to you for the first time, what, maybe 2008, 2007? 2000?
Yeah, probably right around then.
Yeah. Yep. And that's when Busy Beaver was in the apartment in Logan Square, right?
Was that in the basement?
Basement, right.
In my house, yeah.
I'm trying to do a segue here. You were in a band for a while, right? And are you still in a band?
Yeah. No, I mean, no, I'm not in a band anymore.
The Budget Girls. That's
it
what
was
I have.
The Budget Girls, yeah. That was like, it might be time for our, like, 25th reunion now.
Yeah.
maybe not quite 25 years, but yeah, it was my best friend Terry and me, and we were living in London at the time, and we just had this band. It was really fun.
Did you know about this, Tanner?
I did not know about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we put out like 4 records.
Not
did you really?
10 years.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, really.
Yeah. But now, Damaged Goods was the record label.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you play?
Well, I think I need air quotes around any of this stuff. But bass, very air-quoted, and vocals, also air-quoted. I mean, the first practice I went to with the full band, or with the three-piece, one of the people playing guitar was telling somebody else, they're like, hey, what note are you singing in? Because I think we're in a different one. I'm like, what do you mean, notes? So it was a punk band. You know, I didn't know what I was doing.
Now, I went and saw you once here in Chicago. Was that the Budget Girls? I don't remember. I saw you somewhere.
Hyde Park Records?
No, it was a club by the L-Tracks, I think. Maybe you were part of a showcase gig or something. I don't
maybe,
know. Maybe
there
were a bunch of other bands. But yeah. Graham, they did songs like I Like Going Topless Sunny.
Yep. Teabagging was our hit.
Teabagging was your hit.
Well, I'm playing in a band called Dumpster Babies right now, so I'm right up there with you.
So do you still play music now? Or
no, I mean, like, I'll strum on the guitar here and there. Just, I really want to play like Mississippi John Hurt. It is probably never going to happen in my life, obviously, if I haven't got there yet, or even halfway or quarter. But, you know, it's fun doing that finger picking style. It's like good for thinking and like using my brain in a new way.
So now, how I know a little bit of the story. How did you get into the buttons? You went to school in at Indiana and Bloomington.
Yep.
Then you went to London and pick it up there.
Yeah. So I did a work program in London. So I was actually waiting tables, and I mean different, but and this is before they tipped over in England too. They were not tipping, and so yeah, I was just working. Like had a work permit and would go out to shows. Probably at least four nights a week. So just kind of became friends with lots of people. And, you know, we were doing shows too, and became friends with a lot of bands because I had a lot of friends like working in the music kind of field. And so, yeah, basically I met this guy. It was actually Cynthia Plastercaster was in London.
Oh, I know her.
And Jamie Reed, who did the Sex Pistols like design stuff. They were doing a talk together at this place called the Garage. And so I was there, and I met this guy, Mark Pawson, and he was making buttons. He's like, no one's been making, like, the punk buttons since I remember going at, like, 12 years old at the record store, and they'd be, like, on the counter. And I was like, no one's been doing those in the States. Like, I'd love to bring them back.
Okay. We got to hold that for a commercial, and then we'll come back, and we'll follow that story through, and then we'll talk about how you hooked up with the Chicago Design Museum.
Okay.
After this on Nocturnal Journal. Excellent. That's Graham Corder on the. What kind of guitar is that?
My old Fender Jazzmaster.
It's very nice.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we were looking for.
A little beat up. It's a good girl.
Good. So Kristen, you were in London, and some of the buttons.
And then I met this guy at the Cynthia Plastercaster Jamie Reed talk, and he was making buttons. So he showed me how to make buttons. And I was like, okay, well, maybe when I go back, I'll start a button company. I'd become friends with Guided by Voices when I was in London. And my parents were living near Dayton, Ohio. So I saw them play a show, and they're like, what are you going to do now that you're back? I'm like, I'm thinking about starting a button company. And then they were our first customer. They said, well, if you do, we'll order buttons from you. So.
And no one was really doing buttons.
No, that's our claim to fame, repopularizing the one-inch button.
Yeah. And it took off.
It did.
What are your current stats? When you were on the phone about a couple 6 weeks ago or something, I don't know if I had the number, but last I saw 37. How well are you doing right now?
Well, last year we made just over 4 million buttons. So we make them all out of Logan Square. It's actually Gary Steel, tin plated on the south side. It's all a lot of local stuff. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty great like supply chain we have.
And your clients, I mean, back in the day when I did that story in 2008, I mean, you were telling me, I think you had Beck, the White Stripes, Obama campaign.
Well, we didn't do Obama campaign. We did Grassroots Obama.
Okay, you did Grassroots Obama. Cartoon Network?
Yep, Cartoon Network.
And who are some of your clients now?
Well, we do a lot of museums. We do a lot of bands still. Like, what was it, one? I'll come back to that, but... what are the two French guys with the helmets?
Was it Daft Punk?
Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Very good. The robot guys.
But we do a lot for breweries. You know, it's all over the place. And that's one of the things I like about it is like we're a hub for lots of people doing up to things. So we did a lot of presidential buttons last year, which was really, really fun. And 2018 is looking like we're already getting buttons for that, for the political campaigns.
Yeah. So how did you meet Tanner and the Design Museum?
Well, Tanner and I met through our friend Matthew Hoffman, who does You Are Beautiful. Do you know?
Oh, yeah. I picked some up when I was, yeah.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
So it's a big project. You probably know the extent of what he does more than I do. But
so much.
Yeah,
well, Tanner, give us a little, that was the first time I took time out of my busy schedule to come visit you this week. And so tell us about the Design Museum. You're in Block 37, and just give us the Design Museum 101. It's a fascinating space.
It is a really great space. Yeah. We're really happy to be in the mall there, right, amongst the general public. So we're 5 years old. We turned five this year. Our mission is to strengthen design culture and build community in Chicago, and we do that in a variety of ways. We do about two exhibitions a year, and in between those two exhibitions, we bring in volunteers to paint walls and tear down walls and do a lot of the hard work, curate the store. Everything you can imagine that a design museum does is basically done by volunteers. So at the moment, we've got three full-time staff, four interns, and about 300 volunteers. And we've done shows from all across the world. So our current show is on Dan Friedman. It's called Radical Modernist. It's really, really wonderful. It's sort of quintessential 90s, before the 90s were the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And prior to this, we've done shows, 100 Years of Chicago's Graphic Design History. We did a show, Architecture from Ireland. We've done a lot. We've had a lot of fun over the last few years.
And it started as a pop-up, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, so we were out in Humboldt Park 5 years ago, and then we came down to the Loop and popped up here, and then we became full-time after that.
And you're collaborating on this with Busy Beaver,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of why I want to bring you guys in together, on this Clutch Gallery on Pins and Needles thing.
That's right.
You brought the gallery with you tonight.
Yeah, try to wrap your head around that.
We've got to get a picture of that. Right. We've got the gallery over there, Graham.
Can you see it?
So we got to get your chest. So tell us what this is. This is like a gallery that you can carry around.
Sure. So it started with Meg DeGood over at Columbia College. It's called the Clutch Gallery. It's 25 square inches, and it's in an old wooden purse. Do you want to?
Yeah. I mean, and basically, so when Tanner came to me, he's like, hey, do you want to curate this thing together? We kind of were going through buttons, and I don't know, the idea of it being a woman's purse, we're like, oh, let's do moments of female identity buttons.
And this is all right around the Women's March too, so that was really inspiring.
That's when that started. I mean, you started putting that together.
Mm-hmm.
How many, this is radio, but how many buttons are in there?
17.
17 mm-hmm. buttons, and how'd you curate it? How'd you pick the ones?
Well, we kind of just sat together, and we could talk about some of the buttons.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's one that says, clean up politics, elect women. That's from the 70s.
That's from the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. We have one from the 20s that says, join the Pollyanna Club and be glad. Which is pretty awesome. You know, question gender, I heart Girl Scout cookies. Shirley Chisholm, who ran for president.
I saw that, yeah. Shirley Chisholm.
Just trying to be as broad as possible on a little space.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Right.
Yeah.
One of those nights.
Yeah. Now, so where can you see this? I mean, if listeners want to see the Clutch Gallery purse, I mean, where is it? Is it Busy?
It's been at Busy Beaver for about a month or something, uh-huh. and it's actually moving down to Tanner's space.
So it was at the Design Museum for a few weeks, then went to Busy Beaver. And actually, starting Monday, we're going to have it out in a case on the third floor of Block 37 for 1 week. So you can swing by Block 37 on the third floor and see it.
Block 37, that's at 108 North State Street.
That's right.
And tell me about this, 12 to 7 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday?
That's right.
Got that right? So how did she give you this purse? I mean, was it her purse, or have you done any other exhibits in the purse?
This is our first, but we'll keep going.
We will.
We'll have it for quite a while. So she started by just started doing it around school, and she started in 2008 and has been curating shows since then and loans it to people. And the idea is that when it breaks, you fix it, and eventually it'll break so much that it won't be able to be used again. But until then, it's shown all sorts of great
things. That's such a great idea. You know, we talk about education and kids outreach on this show. Take stuff like that to schools and stuff.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, very doable. So anybody could make their own. It's just like anybody can make their own gallery. If you can make a gallery in a clutch bag, you know.
You could take it to the Matchbox, Gwen.
I was about to say, you could totally go bar hop with it, you know.
You could actually do a little gallery in a Matchbox.
Yeah.
Good. There's actually room for that.
Yeah. The smallest gallery and the smallest bar.
Just get everybody to stop looking at their smartphones and pass that around.
Good luck. All right, we're going to take a break for the news. We're going to come back, and I want to elaborate a little bit on design and the Chicago School design, if there is such a thing, because I don't know. And we'll come back with some more Graham Quarter and the music after this on WGN.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. That's Graham Corder on guitar and our friend from the Matchbox. And we're also joined in the studio with Kristen Carter, founder, president of the Busy Beaver Button Company in Chicago. That's a mouthful, if you say
yeah,
it too fast.
A lot of bees.
Yeah. And Tanner Woodford, founder and executive director of the Chicago Design Museum.
Almost no bees.
Yeah. Graham, what was that you played for us?
I just kind of felt like doing a little finger picking there. Something to kind of bring the mood down, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're working blue a little bit, right?
You're a little too happy in here.
Yeah. You play out sometimes, right?
Yeah.
It's always past my bedtime, but you usually, where do you play?
I mean, I play a little bit everywhere. The last show we did was at Township, the new group I'm with, Dumpster Babies. They're an established band, but I'm playing with them now. We're playing at the Emporium this upcoming Wednesday. It's a free show for anybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, anybody wants to come out. I play keyboards and guitars with them and back them up.
Do you know where the Emporium is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're in the Wicker Park?
Yeah, the one on Milwaukee, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So we're playing with, I had to write this down because I'm really bad about these things. Easy Habits, Illegal Drugs, and The Christmas Bride. Somehow The Christmas Bride seemed the dirtiest of all those names.
That's true.
That sounds like one of those Riot Fest mock-up vlog things.
Oh, so real.
Yeah, right. So the design museum, and I know more about buttons than I know about design, I think. But is there? After I went and visited you, and I bought that little book. I want to try to talk about too. The 27 Chicago designers when art became design, 1936 to 1991. But is there a for everybody here? Is there a Chicago school design? Is there a certain style?
Yes and no. I think that the style has changed across time. We certainly have a wonderful architecture community here. I think that the current design community is really about just sort of getting your hands dirty and making things. And I've just sort of reflected that we're really good here at creating work and not really good at talking about the work that we're creating. So I think that there's not really a style necessarily, but there has been across time.
What have you seen? Does that intersect with your world at all?
Yeah, buttons need designs on them. So we do deal with a lot of designers, and I feel like a lot of the Chicago designs tend to be more, at least from designers, a little more obtuse or something. Because, you know, we're part of, like, some art scene here, and so maybe someplace else they might not know about Busy Beaver. But, it's like, you know, I'm just trying to think, like, some of the stuff that, you know, Renata's done, and it's like, you're like, what is that? And you flip it around, like, oh, I see what that is. You know, just, like, using the spaces. You know, something unusual, you know, questions like mystery.
Mm-hmm. Was there this book I bought, 27 Chicago Designers When Art Became Design, 36 to 91. Why is it that time frame? What happened after 1991?
They're still active and going. So they've sort of become the Society of Typographic Arts. They've kind of worked in and out with one another. That's a group of the 27 Chicago Designers is a really wonderful community of designers where people have sort of come and gone across time. And there are people like Art Paul, who made the Playboy Bunny logo and lives here in Chicago. And then people like Rick Falcenti, who's still currently practicing, Susan Jackson Keig, who just turned, I think, 92 and still has a design firm. There are lots of folks that have been part of that community. They're really wonderful, yeah.
Joseph Fahir, I mean, the United Airlines to Hawaii posters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does this, again, for both of you, does this reflect Chicago's role in the advertising industry? And has that changed at all?
Chicago also has a really wonderful advertising agencies and community. I think so. And I think I think you're probably familiar with that as well, doing that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I really like, there's all these kind of small presses that are happening now, too. Like Tan and Loose does this, Clay Hickson does a really fun, a lot on Risograph, which is like this kind of photocopier that does unusual colors. I feel like with the whole, like, zine comic book scene is really, like, super strong now.
Sputnik Press Cooperative.
Yeah, and Press Cooperative. It's pretty amazing what they're coming up with and how they're, you know, really, like you're saying, really tactile and getting their hands dirty and some
working together, a lot of collaboration.
Yeah.
Would it be accurate to say that Busy Beaver was kind of rooted in a DIY thing?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our thing.
I mean, one time I think you told me, I think we did this for the Sun Times too, people come in with their own ideas for buttons and stuff. I mean, you, one time you said 35% of the clients submit their own concepts and stuff. How has that changed?
Most of the designs we get are their own. They just send us the file. But there are a lot of people that come in, just like physically even come in, or else tell us what they want online, and we just make proofs for them, and then they change or approve. So we do have an in-house designer. So that's probably like maybe 5% of what we do now.
Okay. And where, we've neglected to say, where are you at? Where, I followed you around. I got some buttons for the march. And so what's that address?
Oh, 3407 West Armitage.
3407 West Armitage.
Yeah,
and how long have you been there?
We just moved there in November. So it was, had been a blighted building for years. So we fixed it up, and now we're in there, finally.
It's a big
space. Where the Button Museum is too, right?
Yeah, the Button Museum. So the administrative side and the Button Museum's on one side, and then all productions on the other side.
And tell us about good segue. Tell us about the Button Museum.
Yeah, the Button Museum. We have about 20,000 buttons altogether. Up on the walls, there is about 1,600. And online, buttonmuseum.org, is about 5,000. So we have a librarian, and she has a bunch of interns, and they're always putting up buttons on and like describing them. So it's a huge project, and she's doing a really good job because she'll ask like, "What's this button for?" But for the most part, she just handles it. So.
And you have people just walk in?
Oh, yeah.
You
we
need
probably
an appointment?
Have, no, I mean, sometimes people make appointments. In general, we probably get like 10, 15 people a week. You know, just coming up. There's a lot of Europeans because we're in Atlas Obscura. What's that one that starts with an L? We're in a lot of like guidebooks, so we've been, you know, it's like an offbeat place to go. So,
why is your mom standing outside?
Oh, she's so excited. She's kissing us.
She's outside the all.
Blowing
I hope you didn't
kisses.
Ban her from the
no,
studio.
We invited her in. But,
all right, just to make sure she's okay.
Yeah, she's okay. Right?
Where's she? Where is she? Is she from Indiana?
She's from Michigan.
She's from Michigan.
Well, okay. She was born in Indiana. But
all right, we got to keep an eye on her.
We took her to the Billy Goat before this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went to the Billy Goat.
Okay. So now, I thought you were just told me that you had some nudists come by. Why would nudists be interested in buttons?
Well, yeah, that's the beautiful irony.
Yeah.
Well, it's, basically, it was just this group looks for places where they can go and just have fun, you know. So, so they just asked if we would open up for a Saturday for a few hours and they can come by. And it was cool. Like, you know, I was kind of, at the beginning, I was a little like, oh my gosh, what's it going to be like? But then once they were there, it was like everything was normal. And I was just giving a tour to a bunch of naked people.
They were naked.
Yeah. And it was, just felt really normal after like 5 minutes.
How many were there?
Probably 30.
30 naked people?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get in trouble?
No.
Did they buy buttons?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. We'll see. Well, actually, maybe we won't see, but you know, I didn't get anyone's names or anything.
So I'm really curious. So when was this?
Within the last month, probably maybe a month.
So did they show up? I mean, what did they come in? Were they in a bus or?
Oh no, they all came individually, and they came clothed. Oh. People have been asking me that. Yeah, they came clothed and they disrobed.
They disrobed in the museum.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was actually, they ended up donating to the Button Museum for having this event. I'm like, oh, we need to have more of these because the museum just became a 501c3 and we're just accepting donations now. So we're like, oh, yeah, we should do this more often, you know?
That's great.
I'll have to get a card from you.
Yeah. And I might add, you're not far from Ouija's.
Not far from Ouija's.
That's maybe my second favorite bar to the Matchbox.
Nice.
Great,
Ouija's
great
is
bar.
A great, great bar.
And right across from Rosa's Lounge.
Yeah. Yeah, Ouija's has a great history of a crime photographer and all that.
I fell in love with Ouija's.
Did you really?
You know, my fiance,
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. It's a great place.
Yeah, that's a great place. Mm-hmm. That really is. Very tasteful.
Did you fall in love at the board, the shuffle, not shuffleboard?
Oh, yeah. That's what we played, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got their anniversary party coming up. It's usually around early June.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Well, and now they're getting married in 2 weeks.
That's right, May 28th.
Oh, really? Really? Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. It's not free or open to the public.
Not promoting it.
So who comes in at the Chicago Design Museum? We talked about the nudists coming there, but who? I mean, you were in a great location.
We have great location, yeah.
Give me a little demographic breakdown. Who comes in there?
So we have basically two audiences. We have designers and the general public. And designers tend to come to events, and that's sort of thing, and they come in droves. And when we're looking at designers, it's everybody from sort of the young designer to the established designer, and we use that term very broadly. So it's not just graphic designers, which is my background. It's graphic designers and architects and interiors and objects, and I mean, it goes fashion. It goes really, really far. In terms of the public, you know, we're really lucky. We sort of fell into this location. Block 37 welcomed us with warm hands. And we have, in any given day, a few hundred people that come through. And they are mothers and families and homeless people and nursing students and really anybody you can imagine. And they come in and they're not expecting to find a design museum. They're often expecting to warm up when they're coming to the Chris Kendall Market or... you know, they're downtown for some reason. They're tourists, and they just sort of stumble over us, and we try to throw vitamins in their mouth when they walk in to try to teach them what design is. So often the first question is, what the heck is this place? And we say it's a design museum, and sometimes they'll even say, what is design? Right. And that's the place that we really like to be.
And how do you answer that?
It's hard to answer. So my default answer is that design is the fundamental improvement of the human condition.
Wow.
Makes life better. And if you're making decisions to make life better, you're a designer. And that's very broad, and it's hard to sort of wrap your head around. So we often liken it to art and say it's art, but with a client. You know, there's lots of ways that you can really talk about design, but we try to just make it about moving the needle forward and making the world better.
Now, you've got the Chicago Design Market coming up.
I'm so excited.
In July now.
In July.
Tell us what that is.
So Chicago Design Market's opening July 1st, closing December 31st. So it's a six-month lease in Block 37. And we are subleasing five storefronts to a variety of different artists and designers for 1 to 3 month periods. The idea is that every time you come back, you've got different stores to experience. We opened up applications in April, and we got about 50 applications in from small businesses in Chicago, and selected about somewhere around 25 or so to occupy that space.
And that'll be July through the end of December.
Mm-hmm. And we have all sorts of great people coming. It's going to be wonderful.
We're going to take a break, but real quick, how do you pick people for that?
That's always the first question, and very carefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we try to balance different small businesses against big businesses and different types of activities, and we just sort of look at a very broad spectrum.
Is there going to be a schedule of who's where, when?
Okay. It'll be on chicagodesign.market.
ChicagoDesign.market. Okay, mm-hmm. We're going to take a break for some spots, and we'll be back with more on WGN. Our sidekick for tonight, Graham Corder from the Matchbox. Thanks a lot there, Graham.
My pleasure.
That's good. We were going to talk a little bit about, we think it's gone by so fast, but what's the bar scene like here right now? I mean, one question you suggested would be a good one. I just drink beer and tequila at the Matchbox, but craft doesn't mean quality. What do you mean?
Well, I think it's an overused term at this point. Like my bar, the Matchbox, or the bar I work at, 20 years ago, started doing pre-prohibition recipes, fresh juice and egg whites before people started saying like craft again. And now a lot of places are doing what they, quote unquote, craft cocktails. And some places are doing amazing things. I mean, the cocktail scene here is, I'd say, the best in the country. I mean,
Would you really?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there's so many places opening up that are slapping that on like a sticker, like a label. And they're not delivering on these things, I've read a lot of different industry leaders around the country, and I'm kind of with them that it's time to stop saying craft all the time and just like, this is a cocktail or this is a beer and it's a good one and we stand behind it, as opposed to having to put a buzzword on it.
And you tend bar at other places across the country.
So. I've done a lot of consulting work and I've done some traveling work. Last year was a lot of fun. I did a lot of work with a Goose Island Brewery. And they asked me to do a bunch of cocktails using their beer, and it was very successful. I think we did nine cities. They call it Migration Week, and they just started up again, so I'm hoping to get in on a few more of those.
Dan Long, that was a potential sponsor one time, Goose Island. They sniffed around this show. Let that be on the record.
I'll cut this tape and then send it back.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you mix with beer? Like, what are some of the...
One of the things I like to do if I'm making a beer cocktail is actually, use spirits. A lot of people will just take a beer and try to change the flavor of it, but I want to use the beer to enhance something. Like, for instance, one of the things I really liked is like a Pimm's Cup. and I'll use Pimm's and fresh lemon, like a little bit of sugar, some like Hendrick's gin, like, you know, mint, cucumber. But instead of like a lemon soda, I'll use like a Belgian white ale on top, and it just really kind of adds a lot to it. Or like, you know, using it like as a lot of old cocktails have champagne. There's a lot of like options you have now for Belgian styles and very effervescent light beers that can work in a champagne cocktail.
Dave, you got a bar in here? I'm getting thirsty.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll adjourn. Are you going to the Matchbox after the show?
Most likely.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know how you do it. I mean, I sit there, and it's a small – you guys have been to the Matchbox.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah,
a small bar, and you get people coming at you pretty fast and frantic there.
It's sink or swim over there. Yeah. You don't really have a lot of help. You know, it's one or two bartenders, and that's it. There's no bar backs, and That's kind of half the fun. You never really know what the night's going to throw at you. I mean, 20 people come in there, like their whole crowd could change the whole vibe of the bar.
Yeah,
you know, for
what's
better
the
or worse. 29.
Wow. Is it really? I mean, I've written about it, but is really the smallest bar in Chicago?
I've heard there's an old bar up on Irving Park, like way west, that's supposed to be smaller, but I have not been able to find it. So
yeah, it's a great place. It's a great place. What has your experience been, both of you, with the Design Museum and Busy Beaver about? And this kind of goes into our next segment with Chicago Blues experience about the city getting behind stuff like this. Have they been cooperative? Is there more of this stuff going to happen? The city endorsing what you're doing.
They've been there every time I've called on them. You know, there's a lot of bureaucracy and there's a lot of red tape, and we go through the permitting process a little bit, and sometimes that's painful. So Market was delayed a month because of permitting issues, and it's sort of bound to happen, and it's as much my fault as it is theirs. But for the most part, every time I've thrown a hand up, someone's ran over and helped us out. We've been pretty lucky.
Yeah,
I mean, Kristen? As far as, on one hand, the city is extremely generous and great with us. Like, that's overwhelmingly the feeling I have about it. I kind of wish the permitting and inspection process was more systemized, but I think they're getting on it. But yeah, that can be really frustrating. Because you're just like, when an inspector's about to come, you're just like, you know, knock on wood, you know, hope you get somebody, you know.
That's a similar problem in the bar industry. You never really know how long it's going to take to open a place, you know, based on inspection and permits.
It's a good thing they didn't come when the nudists were there.
No, yeah. Well, then no food is served, so.
Yeah, that's true. Who's your alderman in Logansport?
Maldonado, in where we are. There's a few aldermen in our area, but that's ours.
And were they helpful in getting into your new location and stuff?
He was really supportive of us getting this building because it had been blighted, and there were some people who were living there, like otherwise homeless. You know, they're just kind of squatting, and you know, it was just a bad scene. So he was really happy that we were interested because it just looked like a mess, and it was a mess. And I inherited a lot of violations, so I had to go to court every 3 months. But I knew that was part of the deal.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's been really great.
I was going to mention this when we were talking about design, when I was going through that book, I saw, of course, a lot of male designers. I saw some women and stuff. You know, I guess I have to ask these questions, but I know it's been written about with you, Kristen, just a woman taking this business and developing it and stuff. Has that been challenging? How many other women do that? Do you go talk to younger entrepreneurs and tell them how to get through all this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am like just personally so determined that sometimes I don't notice that stuff, but I do notice that when we have articles written about us that my brother is the co-owner, and I'm like,
Joel,
wait,
yeah,
when did this happen? Because I own the company, but I actually now, I thought I have to say, by the way, I own 100% of it, you know, just in case you're going to say. But yeah, I mean, in general, it's hard to know specifically, but I do speak with younger people, and you know, in general, I just want them to have the confidence to do something and just to try out an idea, because you know, it's easy to feel insecure about an idea, especially when you're younger. I mean, maybe when you're older too, but you know, it's just good to get encouragement anytime at anywhere you can get it in life.
That's
right. Yeah,
we talk about that a lot on the show too. Well, man, we ran out of time. Thank you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank
you guys were really good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Really
fun.
Great radio voices. And stuff.
Yeah, you do too.
So before we sign off, give us all the contact information how people can find you guys. Busy Beaver is at.
We're at 3407 West Armitage. Our URL is busybeaver.net. Button Museum is buttonmuseum.org.
And Tanner?
We are at Block 37 at 108 North State Street on the third floor. Our website is chidm.com. And you can find us on Instagram at Chicago Design Museum and on Twitter at chidm.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks for bringing the museum. And Graham, you're going to hang around and do some blues here?
We'll see what happens.
Okay. All right, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.